Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys. Great to be here with you. I'm so excited about today's message. I'm excited about each and every one of you, and we're going to have a great time this morning. This is our last message in our series called Set Apart. I've been talking for 5 weeks about the idea that we as Christians should be set apart in how we live and not live like the world. Been praying this specific prayer during this series about God setting us apart. And here's the prayer we've been praying. We're praying this. To be set apart, God, we're praying that you would purify our hearts, renew our minds, empower our words, and bring a harvest from our hands. Yesterday, I was driving to church last night, actually, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that, and my daughter Elizabeth, she sang last night with the praise team, and she was riding with me, and she said, "Hey, Dad, is this a sermon about bringing a harvest from my hands?" And I was shocked that she had any idea what we were talking about or the sermon series or whatever. I said, "Yeah, Elizabeth, it's a sermon about bringing a harvest from my hands." She said, "Dad, I've been waiting for this one." I said, "Really? Why is that?" She said, "Because that's what I'm all about. I want God to bring a harvest from my hands." And I said, "Elizabeth, what's that mean to you?" She said, "It means me introducing people to Jesus. That's what I'm all about." That's how a girl gets her allowance doubled right there. That's how it works. Right? She said, "This is the one that I've been waiting for. I want to know about this thing about bringing a harvest from my hands. And I hope you've been waiting for this one as well." You probably had no idea when you came in, but hopefully you've been thinking about that. What does it mean, bring a harvest from my hands? Well, the Bible's really clear when it comes to harvesting and what it's talking about. In Genesis chapter 8, we see after the flood, we see that God makes a promise. And we see how ingrained in the Old Testament the idea of harvest was. God's making a promise. Listen to what God says. God says this. When I stop, you guys jump in loudly with enthusiasm. "As long as the earth endures, seed time and
harvest,
summer and winter, day and night will never cease." You see, in this verse, seed time and harvest is just like summer and winter. It's just like day and night. It's part of the calendar that we all understand. There's seed time and there's harvest. And in this society where they're planting and they're harvesting, we understand that. But then Jesus took the idea of seed time and harvest and he changed it to a spiritual understanding of a harvest. Look what Jesus says. There's seed time, by the way, and there's harvest. Look what Jesus says in Luke 10, verse 1. He says this. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two, ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them," now listen to what Jesus says as he's sending out the 72. He says this. You guys jump in when I stop. "The
harvest
is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the
harvest,
therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Stop right there. Jesus takes the analogy of regular harvest, of seed time and harvest to produce food. And Jesus says, no, here's a spiritual understanding of a seed time and a harvest. And he says a few things. He says, first of all, if you're thinking about the fields of people who are out there, he says this, the harvest is plentiful. Lots of people want to accept the teaching of Jesus Christ. But here's the problem. It's not because there's no harvest. The problem is the workers are few. Few people are going out to harvest, to bring a harvest from their hands. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But then he says this, ask the Lord of the harvest. Stop right there. God is the Lord of the harvest. It's not us. We're not the Lord of the harvest. We don't make the harvest happen. It's God who works in us and works through us to make the harvest happen for what God wants to see. But look at verse 3. And just look at the first word of verse 3. Jesus says, explanation point, here's what he says. Go. Go. Go out into the harvest field. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Now, very few people that I know have ever described themselves as a lamb, especially not men. Met very few men who said, "Well, you know, I'm just like a lamb, soft and woolly." No, you know, you don't think that very often, but he's saying, go. Go out like lambs among wolves. Go. Go and do my will. Go into the harvest field. Let me break it down for you so you understand it. Seed time and a harvest. Here's the idea spiritually that we're talking about. There's seed time. Here's what it means. Anytime you plant a spiritual seed, it's something that you say, it's something that you do, that those who are around you, hearing you, who don't believe, who aren't Christians, They hear what you're saying or see what you're doing, and it plants a little spiritual seed in their heart. One day, a few years ago, I was at my house on a Saturday morning, and I had some big plans that day. I was going to cut the grass and, you know, do some man stuff, vacuum the car, clean it, those kind of things. I was in my garage and my man element, had a t-shirt on, some tennis shoes, some shorts, and I was getting ready for my day and getting ready to go. And my daughter walked up and she was really sad, poor little Ella, and she said, "Dad, my hamster died." It was a bitter moment for us for a second there. She was sad. I was happy. I guess bittersweet was more the description. But anyway, she said, "Dad," her friends were kind of around her, you know, mourning with her. She said, "Dad, would you do a funeral for my hamster?" And I just kind of looked at her and I said, "Honey, we don't do funerals for hamsters. But you know what? You're going to be okay. I got to cut the grass. You're going to be fine. Your hamster, you know, he's gone now. We just got to let him go." And so I kind of walked away and her friends were all right there. And I felt like just suddenly I had this idea, maybe from the Lord, maybe from me. And I thought, you know what? Here's seven or eight kids from my neighborhood, five or six maybe. And here's my little daughter grieving. And I thought, maybe I should. What if I did this? What if I got the Bible and I actually did a funeral service and every one of those kids from my neighborhood, whether their parents go to church or not, they can hear from the Bible? What if we actually did a little funeral for the hamster? I said, "Ellie, you know what? Come here." I said, "Get all your friends and line up." And I had all of her little friends line up. They all lined up. And I said, "Listen, kids, I want you to hum Amazing Grace." Some knew it. Some didn't know it. And I start humming. And I got my Bible out of the house. And we got the hamster with a little tissue over him. And I had the tissue in the Bible, the hamster tissue. And we started walking. I said, "Kids, hum Amazing Grace." And they're all humming. Mm-hmm. Why don't you guys hum with me? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it feels good, doesn't it? And we stopped. And we found that special place in my mulch. You know, and I had to get the shovel. And I dug a little hole. And they made a little circle around, and I opened the Bible and I read from Psalm 23, and then I talked about God, and then I talked about eternity, and then we talked about the hamster, fluffy and beautiful. We laid him to rest right there among the mulch. Tears were shed, but listen, and seeds were planted. Amen. Planting seeds, just planting little seeds. So if you're in your neighborhood and one of those little animals dies, call Pastor Gary. He'll be happy to come and help you out along these lines. Now listen, we're planting seeds, right? There's little seeds. I wanted those little hearts and those little minds to know, hey, Ella's dad is a pastor. And if you've got questions about God, go to Ella's dad. He can help you. I'm praying to lead those children to Christ and to see God working in my neighborhood. I want to plant seeds. Amen? Amen? Plant some seeds, baby. All right, what about harvest? What's it mean to have a harvest? The harvest means this. It's when the spiritual seeds that were planted come to maturity and someone accepts Christ or grows in a significant way. When those spiritual seeds, they grow and they grow and someone accepts Christ, someone grows significantly, there's the harvest that Jesus is talking about. You know what? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You know, those little spiritual seeds, they can seem so small, right? They seem so small. A little prayer you might pray with somebody, a little thing you might do. Those spiritual seeds can be so small, but from little tiny spiritual seeds, God grows amazing, amazing things. I would have loved to plant this spiritual seed that cars are now driving through, right? God wants to work a harvest. God wants to bring a harvest in the fields around us. Here's the prayer I want you to pray, and I want to say this really significantly. Some of you here, and I want to thank you for this, some of you here, you pray for me every week, and I appreciate that. People tell me every week, "Pastor Tom, I pray for you every week," and I say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And then I say, "And keep coming, don't hold up." But I don't want you to pray this. Now listen, you can pray this maybe, but I don't really want you to. I don't want you to pray, "God, bring a harvest from Pastor Tom's hands." Don't pray that. I want you to pray this: "God, bring a harvest from my hands." You know, you're not here just to hear about some great things that God's doing through Pastor Brad or Pastor Gary or Pastor Jeff or Pastor Tom or Pastor Scott. You're here to see God work through you. I want you to pray this: "God, bring a harvest from my hands." Right? You can pray for me all you want. Pray that God works through me. I would love that prayer. But I want you to pray this: "Bring a harvest from my hands. God, let me plant spiritual seeds." Now, your question might be this: "Pastor Tom, exactly what does it mean to plant a seed? Be more specific about what you mean." Well, here's the great thing. Jesus actually taught us what this means and what we are called to do. Let's go we're going to go to Acts chapter 1, but here's the idea. Unless we plant seeds, there can be no harvest. We have to be planting seeds. Here's what Jesus says to us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Very famous verse. You might memorize this verse. Here's what Jesus says about planting seeds is the idea, but he doesn't mention that terminology. Here's what he says to the disciples. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Could you guys say witnesses? Witnesses. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The first thing Jesus says, this is the same idea of saying God is the Lord of the harvest. Here's the first idea. You don't do this in your own strength. You don't go in the harvest fields in your own strength. It's through God's strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now he says, wait for the Holy Spirit, because Pentecost hadn't happened yet. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already here. Amen? Our prayer is not waiting for the Holy Spirit. Our prayer is, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Actually, the Bible, you might be wondering, is this a theme in the Bible to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me show you every verse. There's some verses, and there's some verses, and there's some verses. Those are all the places where the term filled with the Holy Spirit is mentioned. In Ephesians 5:8, it even tells us, it says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled, and the Greek word there is continually. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not in your own strength that you're going out into the harvest field. You're being filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're going out to do what God's calling you to do. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham, probably one of the most influential Christians in the 20th century, Billy Graham, when he probably looked something like that. He made this quote. Listen to what Billy Graham says. He says this: everywhere I go, I find that God's people lack something. God's people are hungry for something. God's people are thirsty for something. The most desperate need of the nation today is that men and women who profess Jesus will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. We are number one. We are continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It's God directing us, working in us. But then Jesus said this. He said, be my witnesses. Now, what does that mean? This word is really easy to understand. Here's the Greek word, a witness. A, the first definition means in a legal sense. It's actually a legal term. If you go to court, you observe some kind of crime, you would go to court. So in the first century, they would call you to court and you would give testimony. You would say, yes, the camel was going too fast and ran into the merchant. I don't know what you would say in the first century. But you bear witness because you saw it. In a legal sense, or secondly, in a historical sense, you're giving witness of what's happened in the past. Here's the simple thing. A witness gives testimony to what they have seen. Now stop right there. This is what Jesus is asking of you, that you would be his witness. Not that you would explain perfectly everything about the gospel, but that you would share with people what Jesus has done in your life. That's you being a witness. That's you saying, here's what Jesus has done for me. I am his witness. I'm giving testimony to what Christ has done. I'm his witness. Now, it also says this. Don't miss this. Where are we to be witnesses? Where do we go? In Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's just get a map. Let's understand what's he talking about. Now, that map is kind of small, I know, but you'll see right here. Here he says, first, in Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem right there, little dot. That's the city where you are, right where you are. Start there. Now, listen, this is for you. If you're saying, where should I be a witness? Right where you are. You start right where you are, in Jerusalem. And then God said, in all of Judea, that's all of Judea right there. You're going to be going all over Judea. You're going to be sharing, talking. For us, Judea might be central Ohio. It might be this area. And then he says, when you go beyond Judea, you're going to go to Samaria. Wow, it's all that territory. Jerusalem, right? Judea, Samaria. For us, Samaria is kind of like Ann Arbor. People we don't really like, you know, that are there in Samaria. But he says, go to Samaria. You hate the Samaritans. Go there and share with them. Last night, we had a Michigan fan. Actually, got a few in the room right now, as a matter of fact. He came up to me after the sermon. He says, Tom, I will go to Ann Arbor for Christ. I have no problem whatsoever. Not important. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then he says, to the ends of the earth. This is what you do. Where do I start? Where do I start being a witness for Jesus Christ? You know where you start? You start right where you are. You start right in Jerusalem, which is Granville or Newark or Utica or Columbus or wherever you live. Some of you I know are heathens and live in Heath. Start there. Wherever you are, that's where you begin. That's where you start. That's what he's saying. Be my witnesses. Now, I know you've got some natural questions. I know as I'm saying this, questions are rushing to your mind. And here's the questions that you might have about what I'm saying. Number one, does God really want to use me? You're thinking this, Pastor Tom, listen, I've done some bad things in my life. I'm not the most well-spoken person. I'm not the most handsome person. Maybe you're thinking this, I'm not the tallest person. Hey, I'm with you on that one. Does God really want to use you? Yes, he does. I'll talk about that in a second. Number two, your natural question is this. Number two, am I really ready? Am I really ready for God to use me to be his witness right now? Am I ready? And then number three, what can I actually, literally, really do right now? How can I be his witness right now? Number one, does God really want to use me? Does God really want to use me? Well, listen to how Jesus talks about you. He's talking to people just like us when he says this. Matthew 5:14. This is the NIV. Look at what he says. When I stop, you guys jump in with enthusiasm. He says this. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Hey, he's saying you disciples, you Christians, you are the light of the world. But you know what? That's the NIV translation. I like the NIV, but there's something missing in this translation. Here's the same verse in the New King James. See if you can see what's missing. You are the light of the world, a city that is, there it is. In the New King James, it has this little word, it says set. On the NIV, the word set isn't there, but in the Greek, that word set is actually there. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. What's that word mean, set? On a hill versus set on a hill. Here's the word set. This is the word used for God's sovereign activity. That's the Greek word. It means to be by God's intent, to be set or destined or appointed. Here's the idea. A king doesn't just put a city anywhere. A king sets a city in a strategic place. Here's a first century city, and it's set in a specific place. God has placed things where they are for a reason. Listen to this. You have been set in place by God in these places. Number one, in your workplace, or if you're younger, maybe in your school. Listen, don't just see your workplace as a random place where you go to make money, probably not as much as you would like. Don't see it that way. See your workplace as a place that you go where God has set you to make a difference. God has put you in place. Not only can God use you, God has put you right where he wants you. In the right workplace, in the right school, in the right neighborhood. Amen? How many guys have done pet funerals lately? You're in the neighborhood for a reason. You're there, your workplace, your school, your neighborhood, even the family that you're in. God has set you in just the right place because God wants to use you in a powerful way. This is Richard Halverson. He was the U.S. Senate chaplain from 1981 to 1994. I didn't actually know the U.S. Senate had chaplains until recently. They might need a few more as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, here's a chaplain for the U.S. Senate, and here's what he said. This is a benediction at the end of some message he would give. He would pray this prayer, give this benediction. Listen to what he would say. He said this, wherever you go, God is sending you. Now, let's think about that. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? God wants to use you, and God has placed you right where he wants you, in Jerusalem, Granville, even Heath, right where God wants you. He's placed you. Can you let him work through you? The last two Friday nights, Friday, by the way, is my day off. I look forward to Fridays. I enjoy that day off. But the last two Friday nights, interestingly enough, right about the same time, right about 9:30, 10 p.m. in the evening, I've gotten a phone call, and I've gone to the emergency room at Licking Memorial Hospital. Two Fridays in a row, right about the same time at night, I'm driving to the hospital. And both times, as I'm driving to the hospital at this time of night, going to LMH, I'm praying. I noticed. I prayed the exact same thing. I'm driving to the hospital. I'm praying for the family I'm going to go see. I'm driving to the hospital praying for people I'm going to see there. But I noticed myself praying this same thing. As I got there, I parked. I'm walking in. I'm praying, God, give me the words to say. And God, give me eyes to see anyone who needs to hear from you. I'm walking in the hospital. I don't know the last time you went in the ER at 10 o'clock on a Friday night. It's hopping at LMH at 10 o'clock on Friday night. I didn't know if you know that. But I walk in and I'm saying, God, use me. God, show me the person I'm going to see, of course, but show me anybody else you want me to pray for, talk with, extend myself to minister to. Why do I do that? Because I believe that. I believe wherever I go, God is already at work. I can join him or ignore him. That's my choice. Wherever I go, God is already at work. I can join him or I can ignore him. How about you? Can you believe that? Can you believe that God wants to use you and that he's already placed you right where he wants you to be? I'm not saying you won't move or you won't change jobs. Sure, that'll happen. But where you are, God is placing you. Amen? How about number two? Number two is a great question. It's important for us to ask a question. There's some sound coming up, Brian. Here's the question. Am I really ready? Pastor Tom, am I really ready? I don't want to mess it up. I don't know if I'm ready to be a witness. Am I ready? Well, let's be honest. This is a good question. Am I ready for God to use me? We sang in our worship time, we sang this song. Maybe it'll seem familiar. I'll play you the opening clip. We sang the song. I love this song. Listen to the words that it says.
Oh, Lord, you're beautiful.
A little louder.
And your face is all I see.
You can sing along if you like.
And when you're
now, I've actually liked that song since the 70s. I've liked it for a really long time. And I have on my iPod, I have a worship playlist. And this song is on my worship playlist, and I'll go to worship, and I'll play. There's like 25 songs there, and it just kind of goes through, and this song is on there. And one day, I was listening to this song, and I was worshiping, and then I heard something in this song. Maybe you caught it, too. I heard something in this song that I thought, wow, that's true, but I don't know if I really want to sing that because there's something interesting being said here that I want to be cautious about. Listen to it. Listen cautiously to what the song is saying. You guys hear that? You hear that? It says this great thing. It says, let me take your word and shine it all around. Who think that's great? Raise your hand. But here's the problem. Here's what it says. But first, before I go in the harvest field, before I shine your word, just let me live it, Lord. Now, living it is really important, right? No, none of us likes a hypocrite who says one thing and lives a different way. But listen, the song's saying this crazy thing. It's saying, before I go out and share your word, God, before I go to your harvest field, first I've got to live it. And if we stretch it, we might imagine it says, let me live it perfectly. Let me live it in such a way that it's a perfect life that I'm living. I can't go out for you, God, until I'm perfectly living the life that you have for me. And let me tell you this, it's never going to happen. You're never going to live a Christian life if you keep waiting. I can't be a witness until I get it perfect. I still make mistakes. You know what? You're caught in this tension. Of course we have to grow, but are you willing to do what Jesus said in Luke 10 and go? You might ask the question, should I be growing or should I be going? That's a silly question. You should be doing both, right? You should be growing and going. And I'll tell you this, I don't know if you're going to be able to really, really grow until you're actually going. You've got to do both. You've got to grow, and you've got to go. Let me tell you a story illustrating just this point. Your question is, am I ready to be a witness? Am I ready to take that step in your harvest field? I was recently in the Philippines about a month ago on our mission trip there. I was there, and one of the early days on the trip, I was there with my brother. That's my brother Dan right there beside me. We're both on the mission trip together, and we got paired up on this team, and our goal was to walk and invite people back to a crusade that we were having. So Dan and I were walking brother to brother. We're just walking. There's a Filipino pastor with us. Pastor Joel, but he didn't speak English, so he wasn't a lot of help for us. And he was walking with us, and we're just going. And we met people that we were talking to, and a lot of them didn't speak English either, and so we're having a hard time. We walked upon this man, and he was sitting with like 1,000 or maybe 500 coconuts were surrounding him. And his job was to take a coconut. There was a metal rod there. He'd take the coconut and bust it on the metal rod, break it apart, and the husk went here, and the coconut went there. And all day he was just breaking open coconuts. We walked up to him, and we stopped him, walked off the road, and we stopped, and there was maybe 15 people working in that vicinity. And we walked up and began talking to him. This is his picture. He said, we said, "What's your name?" He said, in great English, he said, "My name is Timothy." I said, "Great, Timothy. We want to share with you and invite you to a crusade." So Timothy began speaking in English, and we began to talk to him. We said, "Timothy, what do you believe about God?" Timothy said, "Yeah, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, and I believe that Jesus died for my sins." I said, "Timothy, do you know when you die if you'll go to heaven?" He said, "I have no idea if I die what would happen." And he said this, "It's the greatest fear of my life, that I'll live my life the best I can and then die and go to hell." I said, "Timothy, listen, you don't have to believe that. The Bible says you can accept Jesus Christ by faith and that his death on the cross can cover over your sins." And his eyes got really big and he got really excited. I said, "Timothy, do you want to pray right now and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" He said, it was the most amazing thing. He said, "Yes, yes, 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 I do." I grabbed his hands like this. My brother put his hand around him, and I prayed in English. He repeated after me in English, and while he's praying to accept Christ, you can just feel the joy coming into his body. And we stopped praying, and we gave him a big hug, and we prayed for his life. After that, prayed for some physical healing and just prayed for his body, and he was so excited. He said, "Where are you going now?" And we said, "Well, we're going to go to invite other people back to the crusade." He said, "No, no, no, I'll invite them. I'll do it." And so Timothy, 5 minutes ago, wasn't a Christian. Now he accepts Christ and jumps right in to the harvest field. And he goes right down to the other workers and shakes them. We can see him doing it. And he's talking in his language really fast and excited. He's talking about how he just prayed and accepted Christ and we're going to a crusade. And he did it just like that. How many of you guys think that Timothy was ready after just accepting Christ to go right into the harvest field and start witnessing? Who thinks he was ready? Raise your hand. Who thinks he was ready? Come on, get him up. That's right. Let me tell you this. You're ready. If Timothy was ready, you're ready. If Timothy can do it in 1 second and go invite people, you're ready to invite people. Think about our church for a second. We have a large and amazing youth group in our church. Last weekend, they went to an event in Columbus called Dare to Share. Let me show you some pictures. Here's kids from our youth group in downtown Columbus, Ohio, approaching strangers to share the gospel and pray with them. Here's kids from our church praying with a stranger downtown Columbus. Here's one of our kids approaching someone they don't know to say, "Can I pray for you? Can I plant a spiritual seed?" They didn't ask that question, but that's the idea. Here they are again. You know what? If these high school students can do it, you can do it, right? We have an amazing school called Granville Christian Academy right here. Granville Christian Academy has, every year they have something called iReach, where high school students leave the building and they go into our surrounding areas, into mostly downtown Newark, and they go out to reach the community. Listen, if a freshman in high school can do it, you can do it. You can do it. Am I ready? Yes, you're ready. You're ready for God to use you in the harvest field. Questions, natural questions that you have. Am I really ready? Some of you, this verse actually applies to you, Hebrews 5:12. Look what it says. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You shouldn't be asking, "Am I ready?" You should be teaching. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. Listen, you're ready. You're ready. Questions. Does God really want to use me? Yes, he does. He has set you in place to use you. Are you really ready? Yes, you're ready. Third question right here. What can I actually do? What can you actually do to get out in the harvest field? Now listen, there's lots of things you can do. You can volunteer here at the church. You can volunteer at the Lookup Center. You can get involved in your neighborhood, inviting people, talking to people, witnessing. But let me give you one thing you can actually do that's very, very practical. Coming up very soon is Easter Sunday. Here's our Easter logo for our church. It's on your bulletin. It's all around the building. And Easter is coming up. Let me give you one thing that you can do where you can step out into the harvest field. Here's what it is right here. You can invite people to church on Easter. That might sound like a small thing, but listen, that's a huge thing. This church is going to be packed on Easter Sunday, and we're going to share the gospel, and people will accept Christ. How many of them will be here because you invited them? Here's the question. What can I do? How can I get out in the harvest field? Invite people to church on Easter. Three ways you can do it. Number one, here it is. Use social media. That's right. If you have social media, you've got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you've got Instagram, you've got whatever, use social media. You can grab that slide off our Facebook page for the church and send it out to all your Facebook friends. Invite them to church using social media. Now, you're wondering this. Pastor Tom, do you love social media? Let me just say, no, I do not. I do not love it. I mildly like it. I just like it a little bit because just like everything else, it can be evil and it can be good. Let's use it for good. We have discovered, by the way, that Twitter users do fit right in the middle of narcissism, ADHD, and stalking. That's Twitter right there. Right there in the middle, we have scientifically found that out. Okay, let me continue. Number two, you can do this. You can personally invite friends and family, not just social media. You can actually have a face-to-face conversation in 2013. Amazing, you can do it. Right over here on this table, we actually have some cards. Right over here, we have cards, and the cards are printed out. They've got the church logo. They've got times of services. They've got a map on the back. And you can take a stack of these cards, and you can go out, and you can simply invite somebody. Hey, I want to invite you to my church on Easter. Here's a card. I'll tell you how to get there. Okay, thanks. And you can do that. You can take that step into the harvest field. Use social media, number one. Number two, personally invite your friends and family. But let me just draw you to number three. Pastor Brad, I need your help for 1 second. Here's number three. Could you adopt a part of Licking County to invite? Adopt a part of Licking County to invite to church on Easter Sunday. I'm going to pull out before you, if you want to grab the back part. So far, it just kind of looks mysterious, doesn't it? Don't know what it is yet. Okay, Brad, I'm going to pick it up. Did this last night. Nobody got hurt. That was for effect. Planned that out. Good job, Brad. Just like we planned it. Yeah. Now this, my friends, is a map of Licking County. It's actually not all of Licking County, but it's most of Licking County. And if you look carefully, you can see tons of places on this map have been highlighted with a green highlighter. Because last night we asked people to adopt a part of Licking County, and we want you to adopt a street, a place, a little area. I'm going to ask you to drive through that area and send out drive-by prayers. Just drive through and pray. Walk through that area and pray. Prayer walk that area. That you might go with invitation cards, with door hangers, and put door hangers on doors. That you could say, you know what? I'm going to adopt part of Licking County to invite them to church. Here, my friends, is the harvest field. It's right here. Can you be bold enough to say, I'm going to go out. I'm going to take that highlighter by faith, and I'm going to claim this is the part of Licking County that God is calling me to, and I'm going to adopt it. Listen, if you're brave, take the area around your house. If you're scared, find some other part of Licking County where nobody knows you. You can send your kids out. Go, honey, go put on the door. Go on. Right? You can do it. Can you step out? Now listen, something terrible happened last night. All of our plans were foiled because we printed 500 door hangers last night. Guess how many were gone when the service ended? 450 were gone. So we're going to print more. We got 50 left. We're going to print more for next week. We printed out 200 Easter-specific invitation cards. They're all gone. We printed out 700 regular invitation cards. 400 of them were gone because people last night said, you know what, Pastor Tom, I'll take you up on it. And I'll grab a part of Licking County, and I will adopt it to pray and invite people. And so right now, I'm bringing it to you, 9 o'clock. I'm challenging you. Can you do it? How hard would it be to use social media? Pretty easy. How hard would it be to personally invite somebody? Not so hard. But how about this? We're going to go to a prayer time in just a second. And I'm going to invite you to boldly come forward, kneel anywhere up here and pray, and just say to God, God, I'll be a witness for you. But some of you who are brave enough, I'm going to invite you right up here. We all know you can fall off this platform. We've all seen it happen. I'm going to invite you to bravely walk up here, take a highlighter, find a part of Licking County, and adopt it for Jesus Christ. Claim your peace that you're saying, this is what I'm taking in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you do it? Are you brave enough? Let's pray. Father, we're talking about things today that are life and death important. They were life and death to your son who came to give life through his death. Father, they are life and death, the things we're talking about today, to every person in Licking County. But God, I pray for those who are here, they would be bold enough to come and kneel and pray and simply say, God, I am kneeling here to tell you I will be your witness. Father, I know that these amazing people at 9 o'clock, they are faithful. So many of them, Father, are faithful to you. But God, I pray that faithfulness would extend to the harvest field. Because we know the fields are ripe for harvest, but the workers are few. Father, we're just going to show you how many here want to be workers in the harvest field. Bring a harvest from our hands, Father. Father, we unite with every other church in Licking County. We're their partner. We partner with them. But God, we're saying, use us. Use us in this harvest field. We thank you, Father. We praise you for today. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'm just going to challenge you. Come up right now. Come find a spot, kneel and pray. If you're brave enough, walk on up, claim some territory in Licking County. Come on up. Come on up and do it. Find a spot, come kneel and pray. If you're brave enough, walk on up. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Don't be afraid.
Mighty to save forever.
don't you guys just bow your heads with me, if you would, in prayer? If you're willing to be a witness for Jesus Christ, I just want you to raise your hand right now, wherever you are. I'm not even going to look. Just raise your hand. Keep it up as we pray this prayer. Father God, we are raising our hands to say, use us. God, we believe you have placed us right where you want us to be, to use us in a powerful way. God, as our hands are raised right now, I pray you would use us, Father. Direct us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and send us into your harvest field. Father, we pray you bring a harvest from our hands. In your name we pray and all say, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. We'll see you next week. Have a great day.